Chapter 8. The Walk to the Church. Time passed, and the difficult situation continued. I am as sure now as I was then that the children were aware of my problem. They knew that I knew about the ghosts visiting them, but I could not speak to them about it, and they would not speak to me about it. Things continued in this way for about a month. We were always together, and we always avoided particular subjects, like dead people returning as ghosts or memories of dead friends. Sometimes I felt that one of them was saying silently to the other, "She thinks she'll talk about it now, but she won't." The safest subjects were those connected with my own life. The children always wanted to hear stories about things that had happened to me and my brothers and sisters, and even the dog and cat at home. Sometimes, while we were talking about a completely different subject, one of them said, "Why don't you tell us again about the old woman in the village?" Or, "Tell us the story about the clever horse at the parsonage again." It was as if they were deciding what to talk about and what not to talk about. At the end of another month, summer had gone and autumn had come to Bly. The sky was grey and leaves covered the terrace and the lawn. When the air was still and the place was quiet, I felt as I did when I saw Quint on the tower and at the window. I remembered too that horrible time by the lake when Flora had pretended not to see Miss Jessel. It was hard to have to remember those times, but I felt it was important because I had to be ready to bear the very worst when it came. I remember my obsession even now. Sometimes I wanted to cry out to the children, "They're here! They're here, you wicked little creatures! You can't pretend they're not here now!" But they did pretend it was not happening by being so well behaved for me. Sometimes I shut myself in my room and planned what I was going to say, but I could never speak aloud those terrible names. I often felt my face go red, and I used to cover it with my hands. "Those children are polite enough to be silent," I said to myself. "But you, who they trust, want to ask them frightening questions." After these secret times in my room, there were strange silences, as if I had woken up after being ill or had swum upward out of deep water. It was then I could feel that the others, the ghosts, were there. I used to shiver with the fear of what they might do to the children. I could not help thinking what terrible things Miles and Flora had seen and heard in the past when those horrors had been alive. But we were good at pretending that nothing was wrong. Sometimes the children ran to me and hugged and kissed me. And always at these times, one of them said, "When do you think he will come? Don't you think we ought to write to him?" He was, of course, their uncle, my employer. We always wondered whether he would come to join us. They never received any letters from him. I do not know whether it was because he did not want to write to them or because he trusted me completely. I let the children write to him, but I explained that their letters were too beautiful to be posted. I kept them myself. I have them all still. But I was sure of something. The children knew how uncomfortable I felt about asking him to come to Bly, and that is why they wanted to write the letters. One Sunday morning, walking to church, I had little Miles by my side, and I could see Flora ahead of us with Mrs. Gross. It was a bright, clear day, and the sound the church bells made in the still autumn air was almost happy. I wondered suddenly at that moment why the two children were so well behaved for me, why they obeyed me all the time. I wondered more about Miles. In his suit, he looked like the little gentleman he was, and I was behaving as if I were his jailer. By strange chance, at that moment, he spoke to me, and I can see now that his words were the beginning of the end of our drama. "Look here, my dear," he said charmingly. "When, please, am I going back to school?" He sounded as polite and charming as he normally did, but he knew that I was doubting my ability to reply, and he knew that he was in charge of the situation. I was slow to answer, so he was able to smile and continue.
"You know, my dear, that it isn't right for a young gentleman to be with a lady always."
He sounded like a perfect gentleman.
"I'm a fellow who's, well, growing up," he added.
"Yes, you're growing up," I replied kindly, but I still did not know what to say.
"And I have been awfully good, haven't I?"
I laid my hand on his shoulder so that he stopped walking. "Yes, you have, Miles," I said.
"Except for that one night, you know," he replied, looking straight in my eyes.
"That one night?" I could not look in his eyes as easily as he could look in mine.
"Yes, of course. The night when I went out of the house."
"Oh, yes," I said. "But I've forgotten what you did it for."
"You've forgotten?"
He sounded a bit disappointed in me.
"It was just to show you that I could."
"Oh, yes, you could.
And I can do it again."
"But you won't," I replied.
"No, I won't do that again. It was nothing."
"It was nothing," I said. "But we must go on." He started walking with me again, holding my arm.
"Then when am I going back to school?"
I sounded very confident and responsible when I answered him. "Were you very happy at school?" He thought about this.
"Oh, I'm happy enough anywhere."
"Well then," I said, less confidently, "if you're just as happy here..."
"Ah, but being happy isn't everything," he said. "Of course, you know a lot."
Miles paused. So I quickly said, "But you think you know almost as much as me?"
"No, no," Miles replied. "It isn't that."
"What is it then?" I asked.
"Well, I want to see more life. More people like me."
"I see," I replied. We had almost arrived at the church, and I started to walk more quickly. I wanted to get there and end this conversation, as I was starting to feel very confused. But suddenly he said,
"Does my uncle know what you think?"
I stopped. "How do you know what I think?" I said.
Well, of course I don't," he replied. "I don't think you ever tell me. But I mean, does he know?"
"Know what, Miles?"
"Well, how I am getting on with my education."
I realized quickly that I could not answer without explaining my employer's conditions. Then I decided I did not mind making them clear. "I don't think your uncle cares very much, Miles," I said. Miles stood looking at me.
"Then, don't you think he can be made to?"
"Made to care? How?" I asked.
"By coming here," he replied.
"But who will get him to come here?"
"I will,"
the boy said, very firmly and clearly. Then He walked ahead on his own into the church.